I was supposed to be here a couple of months ago, and there was my father had a stroke, and so 2 days before I was supposed to be here, I had to get down to Florida to be with my dad. The Lord was absolutely in the mix on all that, and I understand Jeff shared with some of you that Sunday I should have been here what happened. And yes, my dad died. We were there. In some ways, it was absolutely beautiful, and I was just thankful to get there. But I thank you for your prayers and your interest. And you know, it's you've lost loved ones in your life. You've gone through different ups and downs, and it's been challenging since then. And I've been sad, of course, about having lost my dad. I think about my mother. It's Mother's Day. She's down there. It's the first time she's not with the person who made her a mother, you know. So it's a rough time on that front. But I've got to be honest with you. It's been rough on more fronts than that for me. I feel like I've been, and I'm not going to show all my dirty laundry here, but I mean, it's just been one of those seasons for me where I'm kind of rudderless. I'm kind of, with that coming down with my dad and professionally and my kids, and I have no cartilage in my ankles. I mean, it just goes on. And I'm supposed to preach, you know, I'm supposed to share a message with you. And Pastor Jeff said, would you please share with them? I'm like, well, the Lord's got to do it because I'm not feeling it, you know. You've had that, right, where you're just not feeling it, and you've had your quiet times, and you're serious about it, and you're reading the Word, but you're just not feeling it, and that's how I've been for a pretty extended season. So I really have, I've just called out to the Lord. I've just said, Lord, help me, not just with the message, but just all around. I want you, you know, I want you to punch into my atmosphere. You know, I want to hear you. I want to see you somehow. I just want something that's got your name on it, that's got, you know, your mark on it. And, you know, sometimes you just call out, give me a sign. Can I just have a sign? Not for the sake of a sign, but for the sake of just hearing the Lord and being with the Lord and knowing that He's there and real and personal to you and me. So I'm calling this message sign language. Look at that, see? Does Pastor Jeff do that? Does he put the titles of his, well, you need to, you know, well, there you go. Maybe you watch this, Pastor Jeff. So sign language. And the idea is that, you know, Jesus does signs. And we're going to talk in particular about signs, and we're going to look at the sort of the heading verses that I want to use, and we'll do that now. We'll do John. It's going to be John chapter 20. We get it. It's sign language. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in His name. Okay? So that's toward the end of the Gospel of John. And John shows his hand. He says, here's why I'm writing this book. I want to show you, I want to tell you that Jesus is the Messiah. We understand the Messiah, the Hebrew Scriptures, the one that comes to redeem Israel, the Messiah. He's the Son of God. And when John talks about the Son of God, boy, he comes out with both barrels blasting in chapter 1 and tells us what that means, that Jesus is the Son of God, God in the flesh. He is God. Jesus is God. And then here at the end, he says, in showing you and telling you that Jesus is the Messiah, that he's the Son of God, I've written about the signs that he did. It's the signs that are going to prove this. It's the sign. The word for sign, it comes from a Greek word, and the original rendering is to put your mark on something, right? To make known with your mark, to signify. The word signature comes from, you know, sign, this word. So it's got Jesus's name on it, these signs that John's going to talk about here, right? In the Gospel of John. Some people, you know, these scholars, these commentators, they will acknowledge that the Gospel of John is the gospel of signs. And there are plenty of signs in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, lots of signs. But John picks seven to really hash out and really go into more detail about seven signs in particular. John doesn't chronicle as many signs as the other gospel writers, but the big seven, if I were to boil it down, in the Gospel of John, seven signs. Water into wine, right? The healing of the nobleman's son. Right? The boy's at home some distance away. Jesus heals him. The man who was paralyzed at the pool. Remember, the angel would stir up the water and, you know, Jesus says, what do you need? He's like, ah, and he starts complaining. Jesus heals that guy. Right? The division of the loaves and the fishes. Walking on water. The man born blind at birth, Jesus heals him, sign. And you know what the last one is? The raising of Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus had been in the grave 4 days, and Jesus brings him out. But these are the primary signs in the Gospel of John. They've got Jesus' stamp on it. These are things that say he's the Messiah, he's God in the flesh, right? But there are other signs in the Gospel of John. Maybe B-team signs, right? Maybe second-tier signs, but signs nonetheless. Supernatural things that Jesus does that have his name, that have his stamp on it. So one of the first ones I think of, you know, that are, I would call the second-string signs, but that's not fair. They're all good signs, is when Jesus is calling his disciples in chapter 1. Remember the guy Nathanael? You know, and Philip says, oh, we found the Messiah. You've got to come and see the Messiah. Remember what Nathanael said? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Remember? And then Jesus sees Nathanael coming, and Jesus says, behold, here is an Israelite in whom is no guile. Well, I've heard 20 different ways of interpreting guile, but you know what one of those ways of interpreting guile is? Subtlety. Here is an Israelite in whom is no subtlety. I dare say, it's not, oh, he's a nice guy. He just insulted Jesus, and Jesus has got business with him right out of the gate. That's my take. You know, I don't know what the Chosen's showing you, but I'm telling you what the Word says. And the word is, you know, subtlety. And then, of course, what does Nathanael do when he gets caught? He says, well, how do you even know me? I mean, what do you know about me? And that's when the little sign takes place. Jesus says, well, before Philip called you, I saw you sitting under the fig tree. And then judging by Nathanael's response when he says, oh, Rabbi, you are the King of Israel. You are the Messiah. You know, what that was saying was that this guy, Nathanael, was in his own little secret hiding place. He didn't think anyone could see him, and Jesus saw him. Why? Because Jesus is omnipresent. He's omniscient. And that caught this guy's attention, and Nathanael's like, wow. And you remember what Jesus said? When Nathanael was like, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus says what? Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, you believe? You'll see greater things than these. You ain't seen nothing yet. Right? Buckle your seatbelts. We got water to wine. We got walking on water. We got the guy coming out of the tomb. Just sign up, follow me. And of course, Nathaniel's like, I'm coming. You know, he follows him. But that's not one of the seven in John, right? Think about the woman caught in adultery in the very act. They bring the woman, and they're going to get her. They want to get this woman. It's a mob mentality. They're unruly. They want to get this woman. They want to get what Jesus is going to say about this woman caught in adultery. And they're like, what should we do? Well, you remember what Jesus said to this mob, ready to get her. Remember? Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And what happens? They all leave. They're all convicted. How could they go from we want to get her, we want to stone her to death, to suddenly walking away and leaving? Supernatural, folks. That's a sign. That's got the stamp of Jesus, the power of God on it. Right? That's not one of the big seven. I mean, and there's others. Just an easy one is after Jesus is come out of the tomb. It's 40 days, 40 nights, and you got a group of disciples out there fishing and coming up with nothing. What does he say? Well, throw the net down on the other side of the boat, and they do it, and what happens? Boy, they get a bunch of fish. These are signs. Right? Jesus is leaving his mark. He's doing stuff. So the one that I want to kind of look at here, and I don't have a New King James in my possession, so, you know, as I noticed Gary's reading off his phone, I'm just like an old nerd. I like print things on things that we call pieces of paper, you know what I mean? And I mean, things that look kind of like this. I even taped, and, you know, I mean, I'm like, what a nerd. But what I'm doing is I want to look at the woman from Samaria. Remember the woman at the well in Samaria? There's a sign going on here, you know, kind of where we're going with this. But I think for our practical application and in the response to the sign in particular, that's where we get something maybe that we can use. Mother's Day or not. And by the way, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. This is one of these one-size-fits-all messages, God willing, that it'll be good for moms, you know, and dads and everyone. But happy Mother's Day. So I'm going to do chapter 4 of John. I'm going to join the scene in progress. Jesus is having his exchange with the woman at the well. She's a Samaritan. I mean, there's a whole sermon about that. You know, there's sermons we could preach about this, but we're focusing on the sign, the supernatural thing that happens here. I'm going to start in verse 13. They're having this conversation. Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, here it is, go, call your husband and come here. And the woman said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you've said well, you have no husband, for you've had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, who is the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. No code language, no son of man, beat around the bush stuff, like right to the woman. I'm the Messiah. So next time someone tells you, well, Jesus doesn't come right out and say it, say, yes, he does. In John chapter 4, verse 26, I'm the Messiah, right to the woman at the well. And at this point, His disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no one said, who do you seek or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. So you see what the sign is. He's got a read on who this woman is. He knows that the man that this woman is presently with is not her husband, and he knows she's had five. Now, that's omniscience. That's knowing all things. And, you know, I don't know if I want to go with the, you know, omnipresent things, but he's, you know, he can see into places that we don't want him seeing sometimes, right? So he had a read on that woman, and he disclosed it to that woman, and it was in the context of him disclosing to her, I'm the Messiah. And it's the Messiah, then, who's showing this sign. So then what does she do? She runs into this city, and she tells, right? She's a blabbermouth, right? She goes to this city, you remember that, the blabbermouth. So now let's look at the last few verses here, that this is where our practical application on sign language comes, right? There we go. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to Jesus, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him. And we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. I mean, so on the occasion of this little sign of him disclosing to her, I know what's going on with you, lady. And then she goes and tells these people, and of course they believe her. I mean, they're like, I don't know what sort of credibility this character had, but apparently she had some kind of credibility because they buy into what she's saying. They believe her initially. And just a little note about this idea of believing in the Gospel of John. You know, there are times when someone will believe in Jesus, and then later we see they turn away, you know, that they... And what I would say in the Gospel of John is there are levels of belief. There's an initial belief that he's the Messiah. Then there's that belief, that faith that grows, that gets deeper. And so there was certainly an initial belief, a head-turning kind of belief because of a sign. Just as these big splashy miracles and the A-team miracles, you know, the loaves and fishes to walk on water, you know, some of these bigger miracles, I mean, that turns their heads. And just from hearing the woman, the testimony of the woman, these people in the city, Samaritans, folks, did you notice that? Jewish Messiah stays in the Samaritan city 2 days. Jesus ain't just passing through and doing a little business en route on the road. He stays in Samaria 2 days with the disciples. And so then these people come to Jesus. They do what? Spend time with Jesus? It's like a 2-day conference. It's like a 2-day front seat, you know, to the Messiah conference. And then at the end of the 2 days, what's their response? Well, first our heads were turned and we believed you on account of what you told us, but now what? I mean, we really believe you. That's right. We really believe you. Why? Because they got in a boat. They signed up. They, you know, you ain't seen nothing yet. They were with him. They spent time with him. And so their faith was deeper. Now, did they all stay in the boat? Were they all saved? You know, was it all literally signed, sealed, and were they delivered? I don't know. Jesus has got more to do. Big, big stuff to do. So that will be borne out with time. But I think for our purposes, just to know that the power of the testimony, that's what John was doing. He's like, I'm writing this stuff. I'm describing the Messiah, the Son of God, by ascribing to him what I saw, signs. So that what? So that you may believe. And so that you can have eternal life, so that you can have life hereafter. He was putting down his witness, his testimony, all about these signs, right? All right, so what are we going to do with this? Let's see, we got 15 minutes. I got until 12. I got about 20 minutes to go. So there you go. I suspect that when it comes to signs and sign language and the supernatural, you've seen evidence of that in some fashion or form, right? Maybe a healing, maybe, you know, some attitude that was just a dyed-in-the-wool, I hate that person, I hate that person, I'll hate that person till my dying day, and then I love that person, I love that person. Something happens, and there's a change in attitude, supernatural, somehow. It's got the name of Jesus on it. It's got his mark on it. There's a power exchange going on there. I don't know what you've seen, what you've experienced. Maybe a physical healing, or maybe it's tongues. I mean, that's supernatural. I mean, I can't, a circumstance, something. But I would suggest that there's at least one sign that we all have in common, and it has to do with this. We've got the Gospel of John, we've got the other three Gospels, we got the power of the Gospel witnessed by those who are writing the Word of God. We have that in common, all of us, right? And assuming if we're born again, if we're Christians, we know the Lord and he's real to us, then we believe that this man Jesus was a man, human, that he was God, that he died for our sins, that he rose from the dead, and in the world out there, that's stark raving nuts. And you believe it. And I believe it. Now, if that ain't a sign, I don't know what is, right? I mean, that's like, because it's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's in the exchange of the content of the Word, which is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who is in us that wakes us up from the dead, that empowers us to believe. This is true. So we buy it. We're a sign. So when we walk out there, it's like sign language all day because people are looking here. They're looking at us. They want to see how we relate to Jesus as the Messiah, how we know Jesus as the Son of God, God in the flesh. I mean, honestly, when I got saved, and I was a tough nut to crack, and I'm still a tough nut to crack. I mean, you got a pastor who's a tough nut to crack. Did you see that? Anyway. But I had, you know, I got a 2x4 administered to me. Then I got one not too long ago and met Jeff. But you know, there's value in the 2x4. And it was in the context of actually reading John. Some Bible study with John and reading John. And I got zapped by this person. And then I was drawn in. It's like I got drawn in. And I listened to people who I knew that had been just outright hellions, you know, drugs and alcohol. And now there's something different about them. And they're talking about Jesus and they're kind of goo-goo-eyed. And I'm like, what is that all about? It was like they were a sign. And so I was curious. I was drawn in and I spent more time. You know, that's what you do. You spend more time. You seek. Right? You ask, you seek, you knock. So whatever experiences you've had, whether it's tongues or whether it's healing or you know someone that's been healed or you've seen something happen, maybe you haven't had it and you're like, oh, I don't do tongues. I haven't had a miracle and I'm a, oh, woe is me. And you end up like I was for the past couple of weeks. I mean, I've had things happen, but I was like in the doldrums. I was down and I'm like, Jesus, I'm having my quiet times and I'm not hearing nothing. I mean, I'm faithful, I'm being obedient. Haven't you done that? You go through these stretches, you're like reading and you're praying, you're like, I'm doing it, but I'm not feeling it. I'm not hearing it. I just need a fresh wind, I need a fresh fire. I don't know how you're gonna do it. We were saying this. You come here. We come here to have our batteries charged. What is it? We need Jesus. We need Jesus. I mean, one of the things that certainly we can pray, and we must pray. I mean, Jesus says, if you're going to pray for your food every day, if we're going to pray every day for our food, well, let's pray for more. Let's throw in the kitchen sink. You know, God, give me this day my daily bread. Oh, yeah, and by the way, can you give me some joy? Because I got to go out there and pass your joy out. I'm a sign. I got to be filled with you for them, not just for me. I mean, I got to have you for them. I got to go up and preach to these people, and I'm feeling miserable. I need something. You know? Well, I don't know about miserable, but I mean, you know, just it was one of these. We get in them. Funk. So, I mean, at the very least, we can pray, Lord, you know, we're born again. You've given us your spirit. And you said in John 3, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. So let's pray. Let me see it better. You know, you healed the guy who was, you know, born blind at birth. Well, make my eyes see better. Let my vision increase. The clarity of my vision increase. Let my hearing get better. Let my sensitivity to what you're doing and what I need to be feeling from you be piqued. You know, help. So I'm leaving my illustration for the end. And it's like, I always do like a little illustration. And normally I do it at the beginning and I'm like, well, I mean, I felt like the Lord said, do it at the end. And this happened to me, I think for y'all. I mean, it helped me, you know, but here's what it is. It's just a little, believe me, this ain't loaves and fishes, my sign. It's not walking on water. And I suspect it'll be quite anticlimactic at the end and you'll go, oh, what a loser. You know, it's not. But honestly, it's got his mark on it. It's Jesus. It's totally Jesus. And you'll get it, I think, because you know Jesus. So I am, I love nature. I'm a nature nerd. And some of you do. I mean, I'm not the only one in the room. I know that. I mean, you can't have it. Just other nature nerds. But you know, you've encountered Jesus and the Lord out there. Because that's as pure as it gets. You know, there aren't distractions. He made all this stuff. All things were made by, for, and through Jesus. God in the flesh. God made these things. So, you know, he's made these awesome things. He loves looking at these things. You know, what do you think he was doing on a day of rest? Looking at all he made and going, wow, this is very good. Very, very good. Right? So anyway, I was a nature nerd. And I have to say, and my kids know it, people that know me, I am so blessed for the different times that the Lord has just shown me some of his coolest stuff. It's like going to some famous artist gallery with the artist, and then he says, oh, let me get this thing, and he goes in the closet and pulls out this thing. And you're like, wow, and the artist is like, I know. Isn't it cool? I mean, that's the exchange that takes place for me or you when you go in nature. It's like you're loving this thing, but he's loving this thing. He's loving that you're loving this thing, and it's everybody feels great. That's just, you know, that's the nature of what that is. But anyway, so animals, I've seen very cool stuff, very cool stuff. But you know, about 10 years ago, I had a quiet time. I say quiet time. I had a little prayer walk. I was walking in the Lexington Cemetery. It's a prayer walk. A bit morose, but beautiful nonetheless. And I'm walking, and I don't know, at some point during the prayer walk, I'm walking by one of the little reservoirs, little ponds there, and suddenly this bird lands like 3 feet from me. It's like a bright orange and black bird, like a jungle bird. Like not a robin and a crow and a cardinal, but like a, you know, like a National Geographic jungle bird. I'm like, and this is Lexington. I'm like, huh? You know, and I'm like not a bird. I wasn't a bird person. It's 10 years ago. I'm like, okay, robins and crows and cardinals, whatever. But there's this thing. I'm like, wow, wow. And then I'm like, well, I mean, you made it. I suppose I should take an interest in birds, too. Never done birds. I'll just do some birds, you know. It's 10 years ago. So, of course, I like Pastor Jeff or like me, you just go whole hog for the thing. You know what I mean? When he discovered Goodfellas Pizza, he was like in Lexington every week, twice a week. You know what I mean, Pastor Jeff? So I was like, I'm going to do birds, and I got way into birds. I'm like, birds, it's totally nerding with birds. And you know, I'll tell you, I was a bird nerd. But you know, I mean, a real bird nerd. I don't know. Are any of you like real bird nerds? Oh, no. So you know, a real bird nerd. I mean, a real bird nerd, they're out numerous days. They make lists. Like every time they see the bird, it's like the first time ever. And so for me, at least initially in the first couple years, I was really excited to see these, you know, I'm like, wow, there's, and so the jungle bird that I saw, it was called a Blackburnian warbler. And these jungle birds actually do come from the jungle. Why? Because they're migrating. They're flapping at night. And then during the day, they land and they eat bugs in the Lexington Cemetery. And they go all the way up to Canada and do whatever they're doing up there, Jesus knows, and they come back. Right? No, I mean, isn't that right, bird nerd? I mean, that's what they do. So we can see these birds. So anyway, I'm checking off my list. I'm getting all the birds. Over the last 10 years, I'm like, I've seen it. And so, you know, now it's like, I don't go out every day. And I used to get so mad. I'd get so mad. I'd go out and I'd be angry at the end of my bird trip. Why? Because I would try and get as many different birds on a bird excursion as I could. So if I wouldn't beat the number of birds I had the day before, I'd come home, I'm like, this was a bust. You know, I'd see like 50 birds. I needed to see 51. So anyway, I got crazy about it. But really, over the last almost 10 years, I've seen everything that comes to Lexington. Everything but one. You see where this is going. And I don't even, you know, and now I just go out like twice a year. I'm like, you know, and I've seen everything. I don't have to see this 10 times in my life or 10 times a season. I've seen them all, but one. So I went out to the Lexington Cemetery. I got my quota of warblers, you know. I got a rose-breasted grosbeak. I got some other really cool-looking birds. There's this one. And it was right in the middle of the funk and right in the middle of, what am I going to tell him? What am I going to do? And I thought, well, I'll just go to Shaker Village and I'm going to look for this thing. And this is a bird you don't see very often. I mean, this is a bird that hides. And even the bird nerds, you may or may not have ever seen this thing. I'd never seen it. And I'm like, I am so going to Shaker Village. And Jesus, I just need your help. I just need your help. In your name, for your glory, will you please show me one of these things? I'll let you blow me like a leaf. Your Holy Spirit. Someone who's filled with the Holy Spirit gets blown like a leaf. It's not that the Holy Spirit blows like a leaf. It's the one in whom is the Holy Spirit. They blow like a leaf. And I said, I'm just going. I'm just blow me like a leaf. I want to see one of these, please, Jesus. And let me have my daily bread, please. And let me, you know, I mean, under all the quota of all of it. So I go to Shaker Village and I go where... have you ever been to Shaker Village down there? It's a beautiful spot. It's beautiful. It's right along the Kentucky River. It's way up high. But what I was going to do was I was going to go down this long paved road that goes up from where Shaker Village is all the way down to the river. And it's got, you know, birds and it's like paradise. And if there's going to be one of these things there, I'm going to see it, surely. So I go down the road, and I've done this road trip before, and literally, and I've gone down there, and I'm seeing really cool birds. I mean, I'm seeing a Blackburnian warbler, and I'm seeing a scarlet tanager, and a summer tanager, and an orchard oriole, and a Baltimore oriole, and I'm seeing really cool birds. But I'm not seeing this thing, and I'm not hung up. I mean, I'm not worried about it. I'm having a beautiful time. I've covered my base. I even called my son. I said, son, would you please pray that your crazy daddy see this thing? you know, he knows daddy's a nerd, but he also knows things happen. So anyway, so I go down. So I'm not worried, but, you know, my ankles are like, oh, no, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I get down there, and I thought, well, I'm gonna look along the river here. And so kind of blowing like a leaf, I get off the main trail. I see this kind of clearing through the woods over there going right down to the river, and I'm like, okay. So I go down there. And I'm telling you, I'm literally in the weeds that are up this high. And I'm like going, like, I hope it's good, Lord. I hope it's good because I'm blowing like a leaf here. I'm a bird nerd. I'm on this thing. I want to see this thing. So anyway, and I hear these words. And then suddenly, within, 10 feet of me, a pileated woodpecker flies. That's not it. But a pileated woodpecker is like a woodpecker on steroids. It's like the thing with the crest. It's really cool. Gets real close. I'm close to the water. Now I'm seeing the water. And, you know, with all the rain and all the flooding, you have these, you know, log jams up against the shore. So I'm like kind of climbing over these things, trying not to sprain my ankle and praying that I not sprain my ankle. As I'm on this adventure and I'm hearing birds, I'm like, this is now 2.5-3 hours into this adventure. And the bird nerd is literally clawing his way through the weeds. And I the Lord can see me, and I'm glad that's it. Because I am looking like a nerd. Nothing. And then at one point, I do come to one of these logs. You see, I'm stretching out this story, but I mean, this is what happened this week, and it's for you. So I come to this log jam with twigs and all this, and I'm going, and I'm being real careful. And they suddenly stumble forward, and my knees hit, and I'm like this. And there's the biggest box turtle I've ever seen in my life, like right in my face. And I'm not even technically savvy. I mean, my smartphone is this. It's a flip-top phone, and I have one photo on the flip-top phone, the box turtle. Because I'm like, I'm going to use this, you know. So anyway, I got the box turtle. So I'm like, you know, now we're 3.5 hours into it. And I'm coming out into this clearing down by the river at the bottom. And I hear these hikers making all this noise. I'm like, oh, listen to that. Now I can't even hear the birds. They don't care about nature. They don't care about Jesus. They don't care about any, you know, and I'm just like got an attitude at this point. And I can see that these hikers, I saw the road that I came down on, and I see that they're about 30 feet above where the road is. And there's a little trail there. And I knew that the trail typically gets washed out and it's often closed. But I saw them coming down on the trail. I'm like, well, I don't want to have to talk to them or meet up with them. So I'm going to wait until they get down. I mean, they are loud. They've got dogs. They don't care. They're scaring away every bird, you know, this side of the Rio Grande. They get to the bottom. And then I wait. Plus, I used the porta potty by that time. And then I am about ready to walk up the road, which is what I always do and I've never not done. And there was this sense of go up the trail. And I'm blowing like a leaf. I'm like, I'll go up the trail. I got this whatever. And it hurt, but I did it. And I went up the trail. And I mean, at one point, I mean, it's narrow and it's above the road. And if you fall off the trail, these are palisades, Kentucky palisades, like limestone cliffs. So if you fall, you go. But I'm going on the trail. I'm just going with the program, 4 hours into the tour. I get to the top and it's back up where there were pasture lands and where there were some ponds, which I knew were ahead about 500 feet if I just walked through the pastures, and I emerged from the woods, from the trail, and I hear a sound, and I'm like, oh, surely, surely. And so I'm diverted from going where I was intending to go, and I make a turn, and I start walking, and it's louder, and it's definitely a distinct sound, and it's definitely not like, I mean, I'm now in the pasture, and I'm now going, I mean, it's a lot further away. It sounds closer, but I'm going way back. And it's coming from this cluster of bushes, like right ahead. And normally when you go birding, you take your binoculars, and you zero them in on something that moves. you don't just go into a big cluster of bushes and try and find what's making the sound. You know, you can, but it's harder work. And I got closer, and the sound was loud, and I thought, I'm taking these binoculars, and I don't care. I'm going to do it. I took them up. I looked. There you go. Q. Blue grosbeak. First ever. Never seen one. Answered prayer. I mean, they're out there. There were fish on that side of the boat. There may be a crack in the wall where Jesus could see the guy in the fig tree. But it had his stamp on it. It had his mark on it. It was me in the midst of my doldrums. It was just a little thing. It wasn't water to wine. But it was something that said, I've got you. I love you. And I think it's cool too. And we just, I mean, there was that moment, that exchange. And I was like, now I know what I'm going to, look at that. Now I know what I'm going to preach. Now I got something to share. It's little. But I mean, it says something bigger, right? But you see, that's just my thing. That's between the Lord and me. I mean, I'm sad because of my dad. I'm rudderless in these other ways. And I'm digging in. I mean, I'm serving my time. I'm reading the word and I'm doing the prayer and that. And I just asked him. I didn't say, will you give me a sign? I said, will you give me a blue grosbeak? And based on all the blowing around and the time and the porta potty and the tourists and the coming up the trail, I was in the right spot at the right time and I saw it. And he drew me there. To me, that's supernatural, man. And my job is to pass it on, to sing to the choir, to say, look, he does this. And maybe your thing, I mean, I'm birds and animals. Maybe your thing is people at the mission. Maybe, you know, you go into mission every week and the guy's just mean and he's mean and he's mean. And you pray, well, Lord, make him nice. And one day you walk in and he gives you some flowers. I don't know what it is. I don't know what the sign is. Maybe there's a healing for which you need to pray. Maybe you need to be lifted out of the doldrums. Ask. He's kind. He's lovely. He wants to delight you. He delights in our delight. He gives us his joy so that we can pass it on. I guarantee you, he was filled with joy at that bird. And there I was getting to enjoy that. So I'm just passing that on. So there, I mean, the look at that. I mean, that went, I made that go, what, 20 minutes, the story. But what the woman did was she went and she told these people in the village, this guy's the Messiah. This guy's the Son of God. And they're like, listening? We testify. We build up the body. And we turn the heads of the people out there that never heard nothing like this. You know, and that's something. Of course, my friends all think I'm crazy anyway. I was so bad. But, you know, it's a story like that that can turn their heads. And it's just whatever stories you've got and are getting ready to get that can turn their heads, right? So we're going to pray. Someone else pray. Who wants to pray?